Thank you guys for having me. Thank you, John. We're blessed to have him help us ministering, and I'm thankful for all of you guys that would show up on a Saturday to hear about missions. Very important subject. Years ago, on my first trip to Russia to do ministry, we were involved with a number of different churches doing outreach in Russia. It was the mid-90s. And the guy in charge of it, I called him the Indiana Jones of Russia. He was just a character, and he just attempted all these crazy things. And one day, as we're doing outreach, he says, "Craig, you just have a small group with you and your church." We had, I think, four guys. He goes, "You guys want to just travel with me tonight to another town? I need to check out a church there." And I'm like, "Okay, we'll go there." So we show up at the train station in Russia. Now, it isn't winter time, all right? This is a summer story, so don't think snow. But it was still like 11 o'clock was when the train left. It was an 8-hour overnight from Moscow to Nizhny Novgorod. And I can remember sitting out there, and it was just a little bit of light, and I thought this was like the Soviet Union again. I mean, it just kind of reminded me of movies that I grew up in. And we got on this train, and it was just wide open, you know, wasn't compartments that you had or anything like that. You just had some seats that turned into beds. And before we went to bed, and I was across the hall in just little aisle, and this little small thin bed that had been two chairs and a table, kind of like you see in a camper or something like that, and wasn't long enough for me, but all of that was fine. Until Pastor George told me, he goes, "Just to let you guys know, when we sleep at night, you got to be real careful because they'll steal your tennis shoes." Because they're American tennis shoes and they're worth a lot. And I'm thinking, "Oh, what am I going to be doing? Walking, you know, in my socks throughout Russia?" I mean, it scared me. I can remember taking off my shoes and putting them under my pillow. They gave you a little pillow, put them under my pillow and holding on to them with one hand, hoping that if someone tried to steal them, I would feel it and save my shoes. Now, I say all that to you're sitting there going, "Then why do I want to go on a mission trip?" Listen, there are hardships if you're going to serve the Lord, whether you go to a foreign country or you stay here. But God's going to bless you. And I can even look back and now I think, how silly. If someone would have stole my shoes, God would have provided shoes somehow. All right, I'd have found some somewhere. I mean, God does that. But at the time, you know, you get so worried about little, what I would really say, fleshly things or worldly things. We get so concerned about that. What do people think? How's it going to be? And we miss out on the blessing of what the Lord has for us. Well, we go into the Gospel of John chapter 1. Because just as Dirk said, God's the first missionary. As we in the New Testament, it all starts with Jesus, who was a missionary, and talking about going to a foreign land, going to a different culture, leaving heaven to come to earth. That's what Jesus did. So Jesus is our example. Long before we get to the end of the Gospels and Jesus calls us to go out, we're going to see that Jesus himself came and then he sent out his disciples. And these are familiar verses. John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." And then down in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Man, if there was anyone who could have said, "I don't want to go, I have it better here," Jesus was in heaven. There was nothing good. There wasn't an exciting, adventurous trip, which for us, mission sometimes is. But for Jesus, I mean, there was nothing exciting and adventurous about coming to planet Earth and hanging out with us and hanging out with people that didn't love him. But he became flesh. He became one of us. And he transformed from heaven, still God, but putting on a totally different flesh, a totally different culture. He was willing to do that so that we could be saved. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" That was Jesus' message. As he starts his ministry, that's what Jesus says. And it really hasn't changed, has it? We're preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. It's near you. You can be part of the kingdom of God. And if we go to other lands, and I'm going to kind of focus on that, though missions are right here too. And let me just say up front, I mean, being a guy who's gone on a lot of mission trips, people often, because they feel guilty because maybe they're not called, or maybe they are called and they should be going and they're not, people often say, well, you know, there's a lot of need here. And man, I never dispute that. But I got to tell you, if you go on a mission trip somewhere else, you're more energetic, more excited, more willing to work here than you did there. Okay? For the most part. All right? At least for me, that's how it works. And I see that in a lot of people's lives. And there is need here, but I got to tell you, there are a lot of lands around this planet that have a whole lot more need than us. Okay? We have more good churches in Fortuna than cities I've been to that have 500,000 people in Russia. Okay? I mean, they have maybe three good churches that are preaching the gospel. So, again, there's a need here, but there's needs all over. We go and we share. All right, this is it. Repent. Turn. Turn from your thinking, whatever background they may have. You can go to countries, and it's even Christian sometimes. But it's a traditional Christianity, or it's a Christianity where they really haven't been taught the gospel. Okay? Russia, that's a country I'm going to. It's Orthodox. All right? Majority of the people will tell you they're Christian while they're drunk. Okay? Which kind of tells you they probably aren't. All right? Well, it doesn't probably. They aren't. They need the Lord. Okay? You can go to countries where there's idol worship. You can go to countries where there's other religions. There's this need, and we're telling, turn from your way of thinking and believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the message that we have. One, and this has happened to me many times, but I can remember there was a time we were going through a village. Again, it was summertime, and we were sharing the gospel. And one of the neat things in Russia is a lot of people will go outside in the summertime, which I think you can understand why. All winter long, you're inside. So they just sit outside in front of their apartment buildings, and they have little benches, and a lot of especially elderly people will be just there enjoying the nice weather. And I can remember we were in this little village, Vorsha, and we went and shared the gospel. And while we were walking, we were heading out to play soccer with some kids on a soccer field, and I saw this elderly lady sitting alone on a bench. There wasn't anyone else by her. And they're all over every building. You see people. And just something the Lord put on my heart to go share the gospel with this lady. And I grabbed an interpreter and said, hey, you know, come with me. Let's go share the gospel with this lady. And she was, I believe, in her 80s, maybe late 80s. And I shared the gospel. And she prayed to receive Jesus as her Savior and Lord. And afterwards, she told me, she grabbed me and she says, thank you for coming and sharing this. How would we know if you didn't come? Man, that stirs your heart. And I've heard that from a number of people. You know, not that it matters to us, I mean, but God has sent us. It's not us, but God has sent us for people to hear that gospel. And that's the message that Jesus presented. And then, of course, you can look in Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5 says, the 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of the Samaritans. So Jesus came, all right? We see him early on in ministry sending out 12, all right? That's the next group that goes, all right? This is long before, again, Jesus' death and resurrection. But he says to these 12, go, all right? You have a ministry to do. Now, for them, did you notice he says, go to the Gentiles and not the Samaritans? They had a specific ministry, a specific calling. All right? I go to Russia because God called me to go there. That's where my heart's at. I've been a few other places, but I know where I'm supposed to be going. That may be for you, but probably not. All right? There's a whole world. For some of you, it'll be just Humboldt County. And if that's all God has called you to do, well, you're sent. You leave this place, we're sent into a mission field. Do you have a hard time finding non-Christians around here? I mean, I don't. I'm just curious if you do. They're all around. Okay? We go. But it may be just here. It may be here and somewhere else. It may be that God's calling you specifically somewhere, and that's where you're going to go. You're not going to stay here. And praise God. It's God's calling. It's Jesus telling us what to do. Well, Luke chapter 10, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So again, he sends out some more, 70 of them, kind of advanced teams as they went out sharing and Jesus was going to go to those places. And then we all know in Luke 10, the next verse after sending them out, he says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road." Man, that is a truth. There is lots of harvest out there, and there are not enough laborers. And that's the way it is today. And if you're thinking, well, why should I go, or what can I do? You just seek the Lord. If the Lord has called you to go, and he has, to go somewhere, then go. There is a tremendous need. I don't know anywhere where missionaries on the mission field somewhere else are going, you know, we just have too many people. Could you stop coming? Could you stop sending those people over here? We just have too much. Yeah, I don't know. You can go to your pastor, but I have a funny feeling if you go and say, you know, is there something we could do? You know, I've got everything covered over here. You know, we have too many Sunday school teachers, too many worship, we got too many evangelists. We're just, you know, go somewhere else. I mean, have you heard that from a pastor? I've never said that. I don't think any other pastors in here have. We're always looking for more. There's more to be done. You know, God has called us as leaders to have a vision. I have a vision. I look out there and I see souls. I see people that need Jesus. And it's not hard for me to have vision and to think of ideas. Okay? I got to make sure it's the Lord's idea, not my idea. Okay? But I want to be sensitive. What's out there? And people say, hey, is there something we can do? And I'm like, yes, there's something. I'm thinking of trying this. I'm thinking of going this direction. Let's see if the Lord wants to do it. And a lot of times the Lord says no. And sometimes we know he says no because it just doesn't happen. I have no problem with that. If I try a ministry and we reach out and it just is just nothing, it just fizzles. Lord, that wasn't you. That was Craig. Because my ministries fizzle. When John mentioned Jesus Pizza, that's one of our great testimonies of the Lord's work. I didn't start out to feed 200 kids pizza and share Jesus. I started with 10 kids, a number of them in our youth group, invited them over to my youngest son's front lawn, which was near the school, and said, hey, I'll bring you some pizza if you want to come to lunch once a week and I'll talk a little bit about Jesus. And they came and they were excited about pizza. I mean, Jesus. There were a few excited about Jesus because they love the Lord, but for the most part, they were non-Christians who were excited about pizza, started bringing their friends, and before long, we had hundreds coming, and praise the Lord. You know? But that's the Lord, and I'm thankful for all those people that come and help and are part of that. So Jesus is sending people out, okay? And then, of course, we get to Mark 16, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Turn with me to John chapter 20. I give you another one that sometimes we don't see, or maybe mention as quickly as we do Matthew and Mark. But John chapter 20, verse 21. Says, and this is after Jesus has risen from the grave. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." They're beginning to get an understanding now of what's going on here. Jesus says to them, all right, this is the plan. I've been sent, I've come, I've done all of this. Now I've got something for you to do. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Again. We're all sent. I love that about we have a purpose. This isn't just for a few people. We're all sent. And whether the mission field is Russia, Africa, South America, or Winco, Costco, Safeway, were all sent. Now, in the book of Acts, we see it then begin to go to other lands. Acts chapter 1, 8. Again, these are familiar verses, but this is our background. This is the New Testament. This is what the Lord has called us to do. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Okay, you shall be witnesses. And notice, he gives these places. Jerusalem, that's where they're at. All right, Jerusalem. Judea, that's the area around it. It might be us saying right now today, if we live in Fortuna, and then Humboldt County. And then Samaria, you know, it's going out now a little bit farther. But then he adds in there to the ends of the earth, or to the end of the earth. It covers everything. Now for them, Jerusalem was their Jerusalem, right? For us, this is our Jerusalem. Whether it's Fortuna or Eureka or Sunny Bray or Arcata, wherever it is, that's our Jerusalem. That's where we start. All right, that's where we minister first. Then we go a little bit farther out, and some in our group will go to the end of the earth. You know, they'll be called to be missionaries somewhere else. That's what Jesus said. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And you know, the church is birthed in a sense, you know, as thousands are saved. And there's people from all over that are saved. And then they begin to go out. Well, it's kind of interesting, the book of Acts. When did they go out? When Paul started persecuting them. It took a little kick in the pants to get them going. In my eyes, I kind of see it this way. I kind of see all these people from all over. They've come to Pentecost, to this Jewish feast. They get saved, but now they're all excited. They're all together at church. I mean, it's exciting. You got thousands of people showing up, and you were 120 yesterday. I mean, that's an exciting thing. You're excited, and you're part of that excitement, and you don't really want to go anywhere. I mean, you got all this talent, you got all this move of the Spirit, and you're excited, and you're hearing this still small voice saying, maybe you should go back to Rome, maybe you should go back to wherever that might be, but you're thinking, someone else is going to go. That's one of Satan's favorite lies, it's for someone else. If God's put it on your heart, you do it. Okay? You know, for me, I love what I'm doing because God put it on my heart. Okay, there's other people that have, they say, man, I don't want to do that. And I think, well, that's because God didn't call you to do it. God put it on your heart, my heart. So they're sitting there and God's saying, I think you should go back. And they're just putting it off. They're not doing it. And then all of a sudden, Saul of Tarsus starts leading the gang and people are getting beat up at church. The pastor just got arrested. Yeah, someone just got killed for their faith. And all of a sudden people are going, man, God's been calling me to go back to Rome. Love you guys, but I really need to leave. I thank the Lord that he is patient with us and he does what needs to be done to get us where we need to be. Acts chapter 13, we move forward. The gospel is beginning to go forth. In Acts chapter 13, we got Paul now as a believer, and the church has gone to Antioch, so it's moved a little further out. It says in verse 1 of chapter 13, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." Separate these guys to the work I've called them to do. God had a calling for their life. And the church says, "All right, we're going to send you guys." Okay, some of us, our sent is just going to be here. For some, it'll be farther. But you know what? If God keeps us here, then we're the senders, right? I believe strongly in supporting missionaries and helping missionaries I don't think it's right. Well, let's keep them poor. No, I think, man, we need to, if they need something, let's give them to them. Let's help them. Let's see God bless us as we bless them, as they then bless others. So what is your calling? Where are you to go? Okay. And you go and you see the book of Acts and you see all these stories of the church, how it started, because people went. Well, my personal experience, again, is Russia. And when this all began in Russia, it was, you know, the Iron Curtain came down and people needed Jesus. And then people needed churches and needed pastors. And people from America started going over and planting a church and sharing the gospel. And people got saved. And over the last 25 or so years, then the Americans came home because God raised up pastors. And now I think when I go over there and teach at a conference, I think there's still one American pastor who's actually got kind of like their form of a green card and is able to stay. But everyone else, it's all Russian pastors. That's how God intended it to be. And these were all people that when it started did not know Jesus. And now you see this great work over more than two decades. And isn't that the book of Acts? Paul and Barnabas, and later Paul and Silas, you know, they roll into town and there's no Christians, all right? And they find a synagogue and share. They go to Philippi, there's not even a synagogue. There's not even Jewish guys. They find where there's some people praying. I'm thinking, who are they praying to? I mean, it doesn't say. Are these people that did know the Lord and were praying to the Lord, or were these people praying to whatever God they were praying to? And he shows up and starts sharing Jesus with them. It's exciting. And man, you look at the world today, it's still needed. There are still so many people who don't know the Lord. And again, I think sometimes the enemy puts into our mind this, well, it's not really needed there. They don't really want you. And who are you? What can you do? But isn't this a book of people that are not qualified that God uses? Any of us who have ever been used realize our lack of qualification, lack of ability. We're nobodies. And the longer I walk with Jesus, the more of a nobody I realize I am. And that's the plan. That a nobody would see something happen and people would look and they wouldn't say, wow, isn't Craig talented? No, they'd look and say, man, if God can use Craig, he can use me. That's really what it's about. You know, sometimes people like to talk about Acts chapter 29. Come on, any biblical people here? We only have 28 chapters in Acts. You know what they mean when they say that? The work continues. Acts is a book that didn't end. It just, even if you read it, you stop and say, wait a second, well, what happened to Paul after that? Where's the, you know, why didn't we have any more in here? I think God intended it. I know God intended it to be that way because it's the continuing work of the Spirit through you and I. So I give you just kind of a real simple, easy New Testament theology of missions, but it's there. It's part of who we are. It's part of our fabric as Christians. It's what the church is about, you know, to go. And again, whether it's a foreign mission field, whether it's short-term or long-term missions, you know, we're blessed today. We can do short-term missions. I mean, they couldn't do that 150 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago. You couldn't get on a plane and be on the other side of the world in a day. We can. And so whether it's long term, God may be calling you to go live somewhere else among people. By the way, the gospel is long term. People usually don't just, you know, you walk up to them on the street, share the gospel, and they get saved. If they do, God's been doing something in their life through other people for a long time. But you find more often than not, I've discovered that I spend time with people. And for long-term missions, that means people need to go and you live with them and they see you and see your life. My friend who started the church in Vladimir, Russia, which is the main church and region that I work in and with, he went over and he was a young guy with three young children. And this was the mid-90s. And so Russia had opened up from the Iron Curtain about five, 6 years earlier. And he said, I realized early on in ministry, as these young people were accepting the Lord, that they had no idea, being from an atheist background, what it even meant to follow Christ and what it meant to live and how you put that in a practical day to day. And he said, I understood that they were going to be with me all the time. They're going to come to the house. They're going to hang out with me. They're going to be there. He goes, sometimes they'd even wake me up at night and say, Jeff, I have some questions. Yeah, but all right, that's what I'm going to do. People are going to watch us. But that's part of sharing the gospel, is letting people see what Jesus has done in our lives and what he can do in their lives. And one of the great testimonies through that is Jeff spent 13 years in Vladimir, Russia. And one of the first young guys that was saved, his name is Pasha Baranov. And Pasha was from the alternative type of way of looking at things from the Soviet era. He was a punk rocker. He was rebellious. He even told me one time him and his buddies led a rebellion, like all these guys, young guys, walking down Main Street heading to the city hall. He was a crazed guy. And yet, the very first concert they did, he accepted Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And he just started hanging out with Jeff and hanging out with Jeff. And he said one day Jeff was teaching a Bible study talking about, you know, what it meant to be a servant of God, you know, reading about Paul and what he did. He says, Pasha leaned over and said, I want to be that guy. And, you know, today Pasha is the pastor of the church in Vladimir, has been for probably a decade or more. You see what God has done. And man, how exciting to be part of lives that are changed. So I encourage you, you know, as we go out, we're sent. You know, when we leave those doors, we're entering the mission field. Okay? And be willing to spend time. You know, if God wants to do a great work and he wants to save 3,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 people, that's awesome. But I got to tell you, I know in my life, I'm not going to see 3,000 saved at a time. I'm going to spend time with one person at a time, maybe two. And I find that when I do something with that person and hang out with that person, that's when the change comes. And I tell you, it is so fulfilling when you look at someone that you knew, you befriended and you hung out with 10 years ago, and they didn't know Jesus. And during that process, a year into it or 2 years into it, they accepted Christ. And then you hear him today talking, and you're like, wow, it's amazing hearing you talk. You know, you're talking like a mature believer. I mean, this is an amazing change from what you were before. And that's what we're called to do. What a blessing to be part of God's kingdom. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you've called us to be a missionary-minded people, to be people that are sent. Lord, we're just following your example. Jesus, you came, you loved, you spent time with those 12 apostles and the other disciples you put into them. Lord, help us to do the same wherever you've called us, whether it is far away, and maybe there's some young people here that you're going to call to go somewhere else. Lord, you just do that work wherever we are, that we'd be filled with your spirit and your strength. Lord, you do your work and you get all the glory. And thank you for letting us be part of it. Thank you for letting us be saved and be part of your kingdom. But then even the blessing of going beyond that to serve you. Lord, we thank you and we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.